This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-I-D.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Centaurs!
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
As heard on 107.7 The Inn in Seattle, hello, I'm Gregor, and welcome to my ridiculous Nerd Talk, only longer and dumber. This is Nerd Talk Plus from the wasteland of Eastern Washington. He's our skin squatch, but your Montana Mountain King, broadcasting from Siege's future bedroom and that of his child as well, probably. He's now officially the Lord of Horse Ghost Manor. He is Brandon from the laundromat. Good evening, old honey lung.
I was actually thinking, I was listening to the last episode today.
Smart.
And which is patting myself on the back on that one.
Obviously.
I was driving, listening to the episode, and I listened to the intro where you said, Siege's future bedroom. And I, for a second, I was like, oh, man, that'd be pretty sweet. And now I'm sitting here looking at the bed and like imagining Siege in it. And I'm like, well... You know, maybe sometimes.
Could you cinch off the towel, please, Siege, while you're in the bed and I'm in here? If you could just... No? Okay, good. Yeah, thank
just
you.
Full thigh.
We provided a robe for a reason.
If you could just now tie it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, okay, great. He's the first person in my life to make the chaos of Florida seem actually worth it. He and his spawn are just meat vessels for human gratification. He's the Mandarin Floridian. It's Siege. Hi.
Niola, one shang howdy, chelama.
Siege, your child is visiting you, and despite your best efforts to get away from him, he's found you.
Yeah.
And is visiting.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Oh, my God. He's old. He's got a learner's permit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've let him drive around a little bit.
Yeah, just... No turn signals, as many lanes as you can at once, dude. Go.
Exactly. Yeah. Just, I was like, you know, that one on the right, all the way on the right, just push that to the ground.
Hey, can I open my own driving school? I feel like I just nailed it. I feel like I could open.
You pretty much did. I think you're fully certified in Florida.
Let me put these glasses on. It makes me official. Gerg's Florida driving school.
There you go.
Gerg's Gator driving school. Ah,
we're going to have to get you the glasses, but take the lenses out.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Perfect.
And then put shutter shades in.
Oh,
yes.
With buttholes on them.
Yeah.
Ooh, got it. I think I might have you set up.
All right, great. It's decided. Brandon, you look really excited to show something, so hold one second here. Helping us behind the scenes and helping us behind the scenes and then schooling us at the end, we have producer Swan Tasty Gravy Gervin.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, great.
What's up, dummy?
None of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, perhaps what we even get right. If you could tell a friend, write a review, or just find us online to say sexy things about Siege, nerdtalkplus.com. And as always, we will always encourage you to leave comments and sometimes check them on Spotify, unlike today, where I, for the 5,000th week...
I checked it.
Yeah!
While you were
at the laundromat...
While I was definitely not driving. while I was introducing my... we have a nanny for the kids when Cage and I are both working. And,
wow.
The nanny
call
is...
Call her an au pair.
Very much... Oh, man.
She has to be down to bang, I think, if she's an au pair. I think that's like a rule.
Yeah, okay. I think she has to be French, too. Yeah. Some other country. Yeah. She is very much like, I think she's like 19 or something like that.
Go on.
And I posted that picture. You guys saw that picture I posted.
Real quick, could you tell her, say Brandon? What's up?
Yeah. Sure, man.
Thanks.
I will. More likely to tell her what's up than sister brother.
No, do that. Not for me. That's for Siege. I want your live-in.
Tell Nanny Brother we both said
your sex
nanny.
She's
not live in our house.
Up, yeah.
If she did, she would live in Siege's bedroom.
But even better for Siege.
Yeah.
Can sister brother visit too? Because Siege is a lustful man.
Sister brother, teacher brother, and weed brother might all be down.
Yeah.
All right.
He'll provide the ropes that you provide.
I posted that picture of me and all of my kids, both of my kids, wearing the checkered Vans. I sent you guys that picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And made a joke about ska, and then she responded to the Instagram story and said, "What's ska?"
Oh my God.
I was like, "Oh yeah." So today I got home and she
description of ska? It's like some sort of music and something.
Oh,
remember that it was like ska and jizz is the two things we were talking about.
Oh yeah, ska. It's the name of the subclass of people in Mistborn.
Yeah,
book by Brandon Sanderson.
Thank you.
They changed the name of jizz in Star Wars because Disney.
It's not got a hold of it. No one's acknowledging.
Yeah,
that.
I was going to say
you have too many people that have since gone on to get law degrees and become 50.
It's canon.
Stuff. Yeah, it's dude. You're not changing it.
It's canon.
Like, yeah, that's not happening. Anyway, Brandon, sorry. So you sent it to her and she was like, "What is ska?" And you were like, "Oh, well, I'm about
to show
you."
I was like, "Oh, let me tell you." So I got home and. It was the first time where I felt like a. That's exactly the song I played for. I got home and I started playing for it, and it was the first time where I felt like I was like, "Oh, this is the old shitty dad music that you play for the younger people now, where they're just like, I don't get this."
Yeah.
It's millennial butt rock is what it feels like.
No. How dare you?
What do you mean you don't know Steely Dan? Sit down.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason I bring all that up is because I happened to have still been on the most recent episode where Gravy gets a shout out in the comments.
Yeah.
Celebratory on the episode titled Celebratory Gravy.
Sure, of course.
Brooke R. Bean, longtime listener, longtime commenter, says
I'll drink to that.
Yes, Sean, bringing Yellow Jackets into the chat. Season 2 and 3 are on Showtime, Paramount Plus, and the show is Ride. But is that an inside joke from the show, or is that just me not understanding things that people say?
It's probably young people's things that they say.
Yeah. Is Brooke Arbina a young person?
Doesn't matter. She probably knows young people things.
Okay. Anyway, so shout out to Gravy.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets. Let's go. So the reference is that Gravy brought up Yellow Jackets during the episode while I was missing in action because my connection was lost. And then I came back to talk of that. And then so we showed
up. Oh, that's right.
Listened through that and I was like, this, what Greg was experiencing must be like when somebody dies and doesn't know that they're a ghost yet.
Mm.
That's what I was saying.
No, you guys literally said that, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So
maybe that's why I thought of that joke. Yeah, like I said, we are very funny.
I was like, this is a ghost.
You're like, you think the ska is good, Manny? You got my podcast. And she's like, ah.
Yeah, no.
More white guys. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, it was also brought to my attention that there was only one person who acknowledged which portion of them which portion of Greg they were going to eat. Oh, and yeah. That was me when I said the thigh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might have been in the description, right?
That might have been you.
I'm trying to think of what would be like a good tender part of Greg's body.
Yeah. What part of you is most supple?
There's another sentence that's never been said before.
We're undefeated.
I just want to know what the most like marbly cut of Gregor would be.
What is hamstrings good?
Guys, if I'm being honest,
I think it might be the butt.
I think you, first of all, thank you.
I'd eat that bone.
I'm going to do it. I'll get it.
If you don't,
I need that butthole.
If that's not the part of me that you cook and eat, I'm gonna.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh wait, we have to cook it.
Well, I'm just trying to avoid inviting Brandon to eat my butt. Anyway, I'm gonna put it out there. I think you eat the brain. I think that's what you do. I think I don't think I got parts that people are looking to nibble. Like I don't think that
too mushy.
I don't have a big butt. Like I have a Hank Hill butt. It's like that's not great.
It'd be like veal.
Baby and fed from a cage.
Yeah. I'm gonna need more.
Wait, why you bring Cage into this?
It's because he's prude, isn't it?
I need more people to chime in on this. Question of the week: which part of me would you eat?
It's what?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anyone's eaten a tall, skinny person before, skinny fat, that's kind of what I am. If anyone's done that, like, let me know because I'm curious. It's probably the belly, like a pork belly or gurg belly.
Oh,
gurg bellies.
The awful.
Gurg belly.
What?
The awful.
What is that? The off hole? Is what you're saying?
No. Isn't that what they call like all the extra start of the organs? The awful.
The what?
Is that what?
I don't know, man. Sean's shaking his head.
I'm intrigued.
Chime in, Sean. Back me up here.
It's like a jar of fermented meat. It's they call it the offal. It's disgusting.
What parts of the person is it?
It's just the offcuts of everything and pieces of the scraps. They put in a jar and it basically pickles.
They make
itself.
Hot dogs out of it, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Lips
yeah okay.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Love it.
Hold on. Let me just. There we go. Beep. How are you? All right. Well, I guess we should start with a provocative question that Brandon effectively brought up in the chat today that everyone got mad at him for continually to talk about it. But, Brandon, let's hear your take on airships, buddy.
just gonna dive right into it, aren't we?
No pretense, just
yeah.
If you can
airships,
do you want me to text? I could read the text. Ugh, I'm getting blown up someone else.
I just feel like I just need to. You know that show that we kind of sent around to each other where the guy talked about turning off his ears and the sporm?
Yeah, yeah, that? Sporm with
yeah,
the.
Yeah, yeah.
If like, you had, like instead of having a million sperm at once, you have one giant sperm. It's
one giant
it's like
sperm.
A sperm worm, time. A sporm. Okay, yeah.
A sporm, yeah. So basically, I feel like I need to create a PowerPoint presentation to share everything
please
I've learned.
Do. This would
everything
be
I've learned about airships, otherwise known as blimps or zeppelins, in the last in the last day, maybe half a day.
So we get this text today to the group chat to Master Cheeks Theater, and it says unrelated. He was talking about Four Loko previously.
Oh, I thought we weren't talking about anything. It just came up. Unrelated.
He said, "Get that kid a Four Loko," and then.
Oh yeah.
So you just complied, don't worry. Unrelated, I have been doing a lot of thinking about airships the last couple of days. Seems pretty effing lame that we let one disaster ruin the dope form of travel. Like, we still use airplanes all the time, so what the hell? Meaning that, like, I've seen, like, 10 airplanes crash in the last 3 weeks. No problem with airplanes, but we've written off airships completely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I feel like I was...
All right, well, let's move it on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that argument.
This has been...
in airships.
Hi.
Well, Hindenburg, certainly.
I was having a hard time going to sleep, and I was on Reddit, and I saw one picture of it's like 1939 when they were building the Empire State Building, where originally they had planned for the Empire State Building that there would be a docking station for airships.
Nipple docking.
Hell yeah.
At the very top of the spire or of the needle, and then you would be able to take the airship. You wouldn't even have to like land somewhere and then go into town.
You wouldn't have to go to stupid New Jersey.
Yeah. Or what's the other? Where's the other one? The other one. The bad place. What's the
Fresno?
Airport in New York? No, the airport in New York that's bad.
Yeah, JFK.
JFK, LaGuardia, whatever the one that's in New York. Mm. Anyway, you would just get to take a big old balloon to the top of the Empire State Building, and then just take like an elevator down, and you'd be right in town without having to go to the airport. So,
and then
I'm looking all around, like, why aren't these a thing? Because they're actually, if you want to talk about that, we got into a heated discussion about efficiency. Basically, Gravy thinks that they're inefficient when, in fact, they are way more efficient for the same distance. Covering, they maybe go slower, like a lot slower than airplanes do, and they may be a little bit more affected by the wind, if there's wind, which there happens to be some of that in the sky. But debatable. To get from point A to point B, they're way more fuel efficient than an airplane for the same job.
Potentially so, explodier, but yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But you just put a, you know, you put a nice candy shell on the outside and everything's
ooh,
fine.
Ooh, delicious.
So, but then you end up against the Tsiolkovsky equation or constant or whatever it's called. It's for like when you send rockets to space, the faster you want to go, the more fuel you have to have, the heavier it is, so the more fuel you need, and it like keeps like you, there's a point of diminishing return. And so if you put a shell around the explodey part of the airship, you need a bigger airship to handle the shell.
Semantics.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it, like
but at the end of the day, okay, we'll just put way more fuel in the airship, and it's still, it's like 90, what do they say, it's like 99% more fuel efficient than an airplane. So it's still way, you could I don't know, you could tank out the thing in like metal armor and it would still be more efficient than an airplane.
So I have
you also can only go about 100 kilometers an hour, which is about 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's okay though. Like I would,
you might as well drive.
No, because if someone else wants to drive, fine. But I don't want to. Like I want to be drunk. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I'm on an airship, also like if something goes wrong, good riddance. I guess like all right, I'm gone. This is great.
And if it's got a candy shell on it, you get a s'mores or something.
Where's Gerg? I'm just like licking the shell of the like, oh, this looks good,
candy.
Man. Yeah. Candy. Yeah, I . So I have an issue that I've always had these like weird fears.
Ooh.
And I'm like, this would not fly trying to be in the Navy or whatever, but I'm like pretty intimidated by giant ships, like cargo ships, like the shipping vessels that come to the port of Seattle, you know,
like
military
boat
ships
or airships,
like big old boats.
Yeah. And so like, that's not really... Listen, I'll get onto a giant airplane, I guess, because I guess once you get – Gravy can probably nod to this, but, like, once you get on it, you probably don't understand that it's, like, gigantic. It's when you're walking around on the outside. Like, I'm inside the airplane. I don't, like, realize that I'm in a gigantic airplane. But, like, if I had to, like, walk up next to it, I'd be pretty intimidated by that. I don't know why. And so giant ships freak me out. And then if you just put them in the air, that's only like one more thing to go wrong and for me to not survive. And so I feel like if you asked me to walk up to get on the airship, I would have a very tough time with that. I won't go on like a cruise, for instance, because that seems insane to me. Not just because of the norovirus either, but because of the gigantic sinking vessel thing. It's just terrifying.
Yeah. I just feel like the as I was driving, I live like where my house is now is kind of in a... it's in the flight path. If the wind
horse
is coming
cemetery.
A certain direction in Spokane, it's in a flight. Yeah, it's a horse cemetery. It's in the horse ghost flight path. And I was just imagining because the noise doesn't really bother me, but I was imagining how much cooler it'd be if you're like driving down the freeway and there's just a bunch of like big old blimps just kind of piecing around. Which it wouldn't be a blimp because technically the difference between a blimp and a zeppelin, in case you guys didn't know, which you probably did, but I learned it today. So this is what happens when you like.
What did we learn this week?
You let the ADHD win.
Yeah.
You know. But a zeppelin has a hard frame. Where a blimp is basically like a, just a big old balloon, which I feel like if you like think about the word blimp, it just kind of feels like it fits.
Yeah.
Softer. It just, does feel softer.
Blimp. The word feels softer.
You can kind of caress it.
I haven't seen a blimp at a sporting event recently. That used to be a thing all the time, right? Like the, what was the one?
The Goodyear blimp is like right down here.
That was Michelin. Like wrong?
Yeah. Goodyear blimp is just south of here. We see them take it out and launch it all the time. no, north of here.
South is down.
It's Broward County.
There's the SpaceX launch. There's the Blue Origin launch, and there's just a blimp flying into space. Yes.
I actually, I like that you have it pointed up too.
I like that you have it like vertical. Like, somehow it's like
the blimp is just flying that way. I saw the Goodyear blimp crash once from like my parents' house.
I remember it was one crash.
It was there was like a giant storm front that was coming through. It came through like out of nowhere, and the winds just took off like crazy. And all of a sudden, like, because the blimp used to fly out of Pompano, and where my parents live, you can actually see where it takes off from and lands from. And all of a sudden, it was just on like a 45 degree heading straight.
Space is up, you idiots. Go up. Yeah.
It was insane. And then finding out later on, I was like, oh yeah, they're just landing really quick. And then finding out later on, yeah, the blimp crashed. Yeah. I was like, oh damn.
Does it go? Yeah.
Oh, no.
Spring back all the way into space.
Let's see you do that in a Zeppelin.
Forget Artemis. We're going to the moon in a blimp.
That's like a sumo suit. It's like boom.
Yeah.
Let's crash two blimps into each other and see what happens.
Let's just fill Zorbs with hydrogen.
I was just about to say that. Let's get Zorbs. Which one of us could we float if we fill a Zorb with helium? Definitely Brandon.
I feel like as the littlest boy, I have to. Here, so if you guys ever are really curious, go to our airships.
Oh yeah, Reddit,
and it's so fun. It is like it's people who I don't know if I could say this. Never mind. People who are who love trains,
sure.
but their brand more of Barnes loving trains
noble. More. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's
that's the direction it goes. I thought it went more noble than Barnes.
Well, I feel like if you maybe because. If you're gonna punch somebody, you don't. You're not.
They gotta
noble.
Be pretty noble.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're more noble than Barnes. Is that it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like
Justin
it's
Barnes
like
is who we're talking about. Not yes, definitely yes, not.
Of course,
yeah, definitely.
The airship community seems train adjacent.
Sure, sure. That's the way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. but I was into it, so I think I just found my.
I think you might be trained.
I finally pinpointed my spot on the spectrum. Yeah.
There are a total of 4 Goodyear blimps located in various places in the U.S. and Europe. In 2014, Goodyear began to replace its 3 U.S. non-rigid airships, blimps, with 3 new semi-rigid airships. Been there, manufactured by whatever that is. It's a Zeppelin company, each having
Luftschiffbau Zeppelin.
Each having a rigid internal frame. So let's hope one of those doesn't crash, because that seems like a fireball waiting to happen.
Maybe Gravy can help me with this, but there I saw this thing and I had to, on TikTok, and I had to assume it wasn't real because it seems like it'd be a bananas way to
was it Scott?
Do this, but. It was Scott. Yeah, it was a. Is Scott real?
This is not real.
Does it have eggs?
Yeah. A question my nanny asked me today. Is Scott real? are you pranking me right now?
There's no way this was popular.
Yeah, no, this bit is about a fish. Let me tell you about a cherry popping. That's not Scott, but whatever.
Scott Jason.
Scott Jason, yeah. But I was so it was a bunch of like guys in the Air Force and guys and girls, men and women, pilots in the Air Force who were going on stage and like they were revealing to them what plane you were going to be on, and it looked very much like Decision Day for like the draft, right? Except the military was not actually drafting you, but they were picking your playing for you.
I was so going to say these guys, have like a war room, but it's like an actual
guy goes
war
on
room.
Stage. Yeah, exactly. Guy goes on stage and it's like the F-22 and he's like, yeah, I get the thing. And then like a couple other guys would get like really cool planes. And I would just love it if like, if the blimps were an Air Force thing and like the one dude got up on stage and they're like, and you get the blimp. Yeah.
I wanted to be a fat guy.
The only one.
Like, hey.
He gets on stage and is like, "Oh, Brandon's in the audience." Yes.
You want, hey, you want to trade? I got F-22.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Air Force, can we trade?
You're actually way more efficient.
Hey. They call that drop night. It's when they get their assignments. And yeah, people freak out over what kind of aircraft they get, but like
Because you get stuck with some garbage like flying cargo route or something like that. And you're like, no, I wanted to shoot the
dude.
Some people get stoked on the cargo planes because that means they're gonna be like commercial pilots when they get out. You know, they got four engine certifications and things like that. Or guys get stoked on being trainers because that means they were like really good and they get to be instructors now. But like B-2 stealth bombers. I think more people have flown in space than have flown those things. So
how do I get one of those?
Yeah. But also the Navy had dirigibles. The Air Force never did.
Stupid Air Force. What are they thinking? Yeah.
We had like USS Akron, I think was the last one they had in the 30s.
Can I tell you a story I'm going to tell you a story. Yeah. When I was in high school, I worked at the radio station, and the first ever free tickets I got were to Melissa Etheridge. Okay.
Oof.
I was like 15 or 16. Probably. I could drive, and you could drive at 15 in New Mexico. And
nice.
I remember when the girl in front of me, who like was certainly out of my league in my dumb mind, turned around one day and was like, you got a job at the radio station? Like, I kind of want to go to that Melissa Etheridge show. And I was like, what? Okay. And then I got tickets, so I was like, hey, Katie, do you want to go to the Melissa Etheridge show with me? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. So I picked her up and we went to this thing, right? But I was like, Katie's gay, right? Like, that's like... No 16-year-old girl is like, that's the thing I want to go to. If like,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I went to go get a Pepsi or something like that, a Four Loko, and I was walking back, and she said that like some dude followed me, being like, what's this? And I was like, just a child or whatever, right? Some predator. That chick, I lost touch with her because I definitely thought that that was the end of that. She ended up becoming super hot. And joining the Air Force and marrying a dude and having children and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that could have been. She went to the Air Force Academy. That was my favorite place when I was a kid. Ah, oh, man, I could have been part of that. Not had some of that. That's not nice. But anyway, yeah, that's me being better at the Air Force. Go Navy.
Are we supposed to have favorites? Is this supposed to be like a team? Like a
absolutely,
where
you're supposed
team?
To have favorites, and it should never be the Marines.
No, yeah, definitely.
No, I don't know anything about that. I'm joking. If you're a Marine, I love you. I think everyone bags on the Air Force universally, and then the Army, because they're the
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Oh, they don't count.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Although that would be
I always feel like it's every time you hear a Coast Guard headline, it's always like the Finnish Coast Guard sends their boats to look at something out there just to make sure that boat squid. Doesn't come any closer.
Gravy, in the Navy, in the Gravy Navy, not the Gravy Navy, in the U.S. Navy, what is the job that if you hear that somebody has that job, everyone's like, lame?
Nobody's job is not important. I'll say that much.
Hey, I'm not.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said.
Well, okay, so the worst thing you can be is what we call undesignated, which is like a deck seaman. That means that you never went to any school after boot camp, and you just go right out to the fleet with no training other than what you got in boot camp. I mean, there's like a one-week school you go after that. But you just go to the fleet and on a ship, and all you do is clean the boat and repaint it, and it is awful. And to get a real job, like, you have to apply and hope that you get picked up and you can, what they call striking, and you get a real job. It sucks. Now, it sucks being undesignated.
Are those the dummies that end up there? Is that what happens? Are you just kind of a dummy that like doesn't know what you're doing and no one didn't listen and like you were busy like carving your name into your desk in high school and then suddenly you're painting a ship?
I would say on average are the people who got the lowest scores on the entrance exams because they couldn't get a guaranteed school, or they had a recruiter that really lied to them and they were very gullible.
Mm. Sounds like the way Brandon and I both responded the exact same way. I feel like the two of us would have been that.
that would have happened to us. Yeah.
What's up, Dex Seaman?
We can relate to that person.
And follow-up question, Gravy. How long did it take before you guys stopped giggling at calling each other Seaman?
Never.
Okay, good. Excellent.
We had a guy in boot camp whose last name was Swallow.
Oh, no.
Seaman Swallow! Over here immediately.
Sir. No. On your knees, soldier.
On your knees, Seaman. No, Seaman, on your knees.
Oh, that's a weird place for that to be.
All right. Well. And we'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, okay. That reminds me.
Welcome back. Sorry. Yes.
Sorry. That reminds me. I actually got several notes this week.
Yeah.
All from one person who wanted to let me know that they're buying from our advertisers.
What?
Because of us.
Wait, we have advertisers?
We have advertisers. You know that thing where we go to break sometimes and there are like commercials in between?
None of us makes any money off of that. I'm employed by the company.
Oh my God.
I get my check off of that.
Yeah, I know,
did you
right?
Off on that? That's what you said.
Please do, Dex Seaman.
Anyway, thank you. Whoever messaged you that they're buying from our advertisers, amazing. Because I'm sure they track that somehow.
Yeah, like they wanted to make sure that we knew that they were buying from their advertisers and that they were actually listening through the advertisements because they wanted to support us.
This person has no arms, so they're unable to skip ahead.
They're driving very fast and cannot reach the fast forward button.
Jokes aside, that's very sweet of you, and I appreciate you so much for doing that. If you just want to listen to them and not buy something, that also counts a lot for us. And so you do whatever you got to do. If anyone's listening and wants to know how they can help the show, you can just listen through the ads. Is an amazing thing to do. We will do this show regardless. My voice will crack regardless. And but thanks. That's so cool that you would do that. Just know that it's the company that sees all of that. And boy, is that a great thing, especially during layoffs. Go company! Okay. Anyway, Brandon, do you have more thoughts on the airship, or do we cover at least enough of that for you for today? Or we can this week in airships, we can do it next week.
We talked a lot about airships right here.
I love that.
At the top of the show. So I was just trying to share something with you guys that I learned that I was.
You were talking about how efficient they are, yeah. In comparison. Like you said, way more. Do you have any numbers on that?
How about for next week, no. Brandon? Let's have a PowerPoint next week that we can share.
I do have a very I have a lot of ideas about how I could stoic the amount of fuel that we need for the airships in order to convert that into just about anything.
Let's just see how far towards noble you are on this actual subject.
Yeah.
By assigning you a power.
I'm feeling very Barnes right now.
No, noble.
I'm early on. It's Barnes. I will get to the noble.
Okay, good. I think you're already there. You're deflecting. You're masking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange thing happened to me this week with my child. I was driving in the car and he goes, "Dad, list the top three things that make you angry while driving." I was like,
You?
And I was like, first of all, it ended up there for sure. I was like, how about you list the things that you think are my top three things and I'll rank them for you? And he got very mad at me. He's like, "That is not what I said. I want you to list them."
And I was like, "Wow, he is your son."
And I was like, No, I get it. How dare you? I get it. See my son every day, jerk. Anyway.
I don't. Look how happy I am.
You both win?
Yeah. Wait a second.
I think in the end, my kid won.
Yeah.
This is true stoichiometry. Also, is there a program in the history of ever that uses the phrase stoichiometry more than this podcast?
No.
I don't think there's science or math teachers that have used this phrase as much as we do. So, stoic life, what up?
Stoic life.
Yeah, so he says, rank your anger for driving. And I thought maybe we could do that. Maybe we could find things to, we could rank our anger about things. I try to be positive about things, but I do love caving into my driving anger. And so I don't remember what I told him at the time because it's all fairness type stuff where, like, hey, you can be having spent time in Florida. We talk about this a lot on the pod, but like there, anything goes. And that's insane. But then once you accept it, you're like, well, just anything goes, I guess. Everyone's being equally awful at driving and good luck. And I can just accept that. I can accept that those are the rules. Seattle's a very specifically bad place to drive because even the people that like should know better don't know better. And so there's the Uber driver contingent that like just will cut corners and go the wrong way on a roundabout. And I'm like, how dare you? Like, stop ruining things for everybody. You're doing a terrible job. And then I usually say some like xenophobic things in my head and I'm like, okay, great.
nice.
Then I see the hot neighbor, like this hot, like 20 something year old chick. She cuts the roundabout and I'm like, no, no, bad.
You're dead to me.
Bad. God damn it. And it's those things. So like people in Seattle have this problem where when you're going to get on the freeway, you don't speed up and you try to merge with a 60 mile an hour freeway going 37 miles an hour and it creates unnecessary traffic. You need to be going the speed of traffic when you arrive at the traffic. That is how you do the merge. We won't even get into zipper merge. It's a complicated process. I get it.
It's not.
I know it's not at all. The passive aggressiveness of people not letting someone get in while you're zipper merging. Like, no, I'm going to pull up and you're going to have to go behind me. So that way we can sit in this line together and I can now want to get out of the car and beat your face until it's bloody. Like, these things.
I have a question about that specifically.
Yeah, great, let's go.
If somebody does that to you, so say you're the one.
Which part,
the
beats
one,
their face till he's bloody?
No, yeah.
If somebody,
black belt.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Someone's like, I'm a second degree. I'm like, ah!
Yeah, exactly. No, so if you're the person who is merging, say you're the more Guinness.
Hell I bought the 4,000 pack from Costco, dude. I'm gonna be drinking Guinness till I'm dead, which is hopefully soon because I'm gonna run.
Soon. Sorry. So if you're the one merging and the person that should be letting you in, based on the letter of the, well, I don't know if it's the law or just the how it's supposed to work.
The weird graphic that SDOT puts on Twitter.
Yeah. If that person is doing that to you, is it worse if they don't make eye contact with you and just stare ahead and pretend like they're doing nothing? Or if they lock eyes with
we're
you
and wrecking, bro. That's what's happening.
Yeah, okay.
I'm crazy. You can't like you're not doing that to me. There's gonna be a problem. Like, I'm pulling my car into your lane and you're getting out of the way until you either shoot me, fine, great, or you like you're gonna recognize me because there's gonna be a car in front of you and you're gonna hit me. And then we're going to fight, and then I might lose the insurance battle and be broker than ever, but, like, I don't care. Like, we're doing things the civil way, even if I have to be uncivilized about it. Like, we're getting back to decorum, everybody. This is what's happening, is we're acknowledging one another, having to exist in the same space, and you're going to acknowledge it. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to bend on – I mean, I'm obviously going to break because I'm already in full psychosis right now. But I'm not bending. Like, we are treating each other civilly. You need to get in front of me. You put your blinker on. You're getting in. Even if you're a dick about it and you wait till the last second or whatever. You make a mistake and wave, it's all erased. Oh, my bad. Didn't see you. Okay, great. Yeah, thanks. We're going. But Seattle's so sissy about, like, confrontation that, like, I learned when I first moved here, like, oh, I'm just going to be confrontational about these things, and it's awesome. It's just incredible.
Yeah. I love this.
This is what my child is talking about. He's like, you get real mad when you're driving. I'm like, I know! And I love you.
He got done with his 5-minute soapbox about zipper merges and his, what, how old is he now? Like 11-year-old?
Yeah, well, he was 7 when we started. Yeah.
His 7-year-old is like, okay, I just thought you would say, like, I don't know, stop signs or something.
Can we stop at the store and get some razors? I shave now. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Why'd your voice get so deep, dude? Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty much like a fairness thing where I'm like, just pay attention. And then, like, Seattle people notoriously, I think people here probably have a safer time driving than most places, but a much more frustrating time.
No.
Because they're dumb. No, because if you drive 20 down the 25 mile an hour lane, it's not dangerous for the person that walks into the street. You have a better chance of stopping and not smashing into somebody.
We're talking about driving, not people walking.
But
these are different things happening at the same place, different conversations.
Efficiency! but the idea being that, like, the 55 and a 60 in the fast lane, I'm apoplectic. Now, so what I ended up having to start doing is, because obviously there's no police doing anything anywhere in this city, I just had to
citizens
start
arrests.
Passing people in the HOV lane. And and then what's the pit maneuver where you push them and they spread out? A lot of pit maneuvers.
Greg's just been throwing tax strips across the freeway.
You don't even understand. My tax strip budget is out of control. Also, I'll be missing the next 6 to 8 months of podcasts as I do some time in city jail. So don't worry.
I'll smuggle you in a mic.
AI Gerg is all set to go. Full of pro-Republican rants and things. Yeah.
This does feel a little bit like Graffiti Pod number 2.
It's the fact that we can't acknowledge one another as humans that have to share the same space. We don't have to be nice to each other. Just like acknowledge that we got to use the same space, and if you're a dick about it, I'm going to want to punch your face. Like, it's like I'm obviously not a violent person, but it's a...
I think that was the biggest groan I've ever made. the loudest one.
Oh, man. I learned a vicious martial arts thing today. It's so awesome. Like, part of it is, like, after you've stomped them in the chest, make sure you turn your body weight over the top before dropping a knee into their ribs. And I was like, okay. Like,
hell yeah.
You betcha.
If you want to guarantee efficiency that you kill this person, yeah. Here's how.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. Well, how you guys doing? You all right?
Dude.
So,
everything that you said, I agree with you 100%, except for the part about people are way too nice to each other. I don't understand that whatsoever. Like, my problem with, like,
I didn't say anyone's too nice to each other.
No. You were saying that people were, like, caring about other people too much, right? Like, trying to, like, be too safe.
Oh, no. They're driving. They have no care about anyone else in the world. That's
okay.
They drive 5 miles an hour under the speed limit. as if they're doing like a civil duty to somebody. It's not
well,
like
see, that's the thing is I okay. What I hate is the civil duty part.
Yeah, right. Of course, it's pretentiousness.
That's because I'm Florida. Is what Grady said in the chat. But at the same time, dude, that is so much more danger. I'm sorry, I'm hitting the desk. So if you can hear it in the microphone, it's so much more dangerous to be going slow and being safe. You're getting in everybody else's way. Like I'm trying to. I drive on I-95. If you're not going 95, then get the hell off of 95.
Yeah, true.
I mean, like if you're driving below 85, get out of the left lane.
So we're on the same page with that. My point is like in the neighborhoods where it's 25, like all the surface streets in Seattle are 25.
All the places. You come to that roundabout or you come to that four-way stop where you and I have had this discussion before where people are like stopping and then they're like waving somebody else on. If you wave somebody else on, I'm going to drive right through your car. I don't care what direction I have to go.
Just go. Just go.
You being polite and nice to somebody else is screwing up everybody else's day at that four-way stop.
The difference, though, is between danger and annoyance. The reason our commute is so miserable is because people are being so they're trying to like, oh, no, I'll stop for you so you can walk across person who's walking their dog. And like, if you would have just waited, you wouldn't have stopped all this traffic and they could have just used the crosswalk at the appropriate time and it would have been more efficient.
And see, where I'm coming from is where I say it's also dangerous because there's a way to drive. You have to go, you know, the next person on the right going.
Yeah, of
next
course.
Person on the right going. And then if you're stopping and telling somebody else to go so this person can go, you're screwing up the natural order of things. And then I'm just going to drive chaotically straight through you.
Yeah. Well, again, Florida. That's because you're in Florida, says Gravy. That you already read.
And also, stop using turn signals.
Oh,
it drives me nuts. Just swerve once to let them know you're coming, and then go.
Oh, dude, I've got to...
Also, don't take out the airbag once it's popped. Just leave it there.
Just cut it off the thing and slap the little
horn.
Only
turn on your headlights right before you hit them, so that way they don't know it's coming.
Absolutely. You really think they're going to... Like, come on. It's going to hurt less if they don't know it's coming.
Right. Well, this is...
If you use turn signals, we know you're from Ohio. We're going to rob you.
This has gotten way off track.
Can I tell you guys something I learned about Siege's car today?
Please. It's orange.
It is orange. I learned that today. Oh. That's not the thing I learned today. So in previous episodes during Guinness time, where we try to guess the world record for things, Siege... you started using pumpkins as a
sure
unit
did.
Of measurement.
Yes, I did.
and so today
average
I wanted
size
to
pumpkins,
do...
is that what it was?
Yeah.
Regular size?
The average size pumpkin.
Well, I have some news about the average size pumpkin.
Ooh.
I did a little bit of stoichiometry today. speaking of stoichiometry. and I learned exactly how many pumpkins per gallon, which is, I think, what the
PPG.
Unit of measurement that Siege had used. So here's what I learned. And actually, we can convert this to just about anything. So we can learn
to
about
stoichiometry.
The fuel,
I understand the concept.
Yeah, the fuel efficiency of any of us individuals. And I'll tell you exactly how I found this out. So it turns out that in order to make 1 gallon of fuel out of organic matter, you need about 196 pounds of organic matter to make like a biofuel, if that makes sense.
So let's just call it 200, just to be easy.
Well, no, because I did the math already.
Thank you. Yes.
So I said,
you don't
okay,
realize how long you were yelling about traffic, Greg. Like, I had plenty of time to do some math.
Yeah. 196 pounds. So you would need 98 tons of organic matter after it had been buried under pressure for millions of years in order to make 1 gallon of gasoline. So 196,000 pounds, which turns out if the average pumpkin is about 13 pounds, you're looking at 15,077 pumpkins per gallon of fuel. 15,000 pumpkins, which if you drive an orange Volkswagen Tiguan that gets about 24 miles per gallon, city 31 highway, you are looking at one pumpkin getting you about 0.0016 miles per pumpkin.
Can you convert that to feet for me, please?
I can convert it to inches for you, which then I could convert it to feet for you.
Sure.
So 0.0016 miles per pumpkin, which means one pumpkin can get you about 101 inches.
So if the average pumpkin is about 12 inches wide, I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't know. Just on the guess. Are we frozen? Siege looks frozen.
No.
Okay. I'm
he's stunned.
I'm deep.
That's what that is. That's stunned, not frozen.
No, I'm learning. So that's like, I love this.
That's like eight pumpkins.
Like, yeah.
My chaos has turned into full-fledged like theory.
Yeah. So what I learned
is you can drive a distance of eight pumpkins by putting in how many pumpkins?
15,000.
Well, one pumpkin will get you 101 inches.
Okay.
And what I did was based on circumference of the average circumference of a 13-pound pumpkin is what would it end up being? It was like 28 to 32 inches, according to the internet.
Now divide that by 3.14.
Well, therefore, if you were... No, that was the circumference.
No, you need the diameter, though, because you don't drive around the pumpkin. You drive the distance of a pumpkin.
Or if you cut it and then you roll it
flat.
What I'm doing is saying, if I roll the pumpkin, how many pumpkins would it go?
So
it's about 2.6 pumpkins is how far one pumpkin could power one pumpkin.
Please start Guinness time. Easily. I think that's easily, other than buckets of whale jizz, I think that's easily Brandon's finest work.
I'm crying.
One pumpkin can roll one pumpkin 2.5 times. That's amazing.
2.5 pumpkins.
You guys want to start a farm? Nah, I want to make this a reality.
To be fair, that is if we were powering one Volkswagen T1, not necessarily one pumpkin. So the fuel efficiency rating does change a little bit there. But if you were trying to
from pumpkins to Tiguans.
Yeah, I don't know what the average miles per gallon of a pumpkin is, city or highway. So.
Especially if they're hybrid.
All right. Well,
but I could tell you how many Brandons it would take. I'm not going to ask any of you guys your weight, but I will tell you exactly. Let's see. Oh no, that's wrong.
All right.
It would take 11,000 Brandons 1,152 of me to make 1 gallon of gas.
Oh wow,
that's awesome.
That's a lot of. Yeah. That's a lot of gas for you.
It's about 0.00.
Ask Cageman how much gas he makes.
So 0.02 miles per Brandon.
Wow.
And then I can convert that into. Anyway,
into pumpkins.
Yeah,
you convert that into how many pumpkin rolls? That'd probably be like 5 or 6 pumpkins at that point.
Oh, dude, it's no. I mean, I could easily. You just divide the weight of an average pumpkin into the weight of an average Brandon.
You guys still going?
No, I'm saying like we could roll a pumpkin probably like 6 times for one Brandon versus one pumpkin.
It's 13 pumpkins.
13. Holy crap, that's double what I was saying. You are so efficient.
Welcome back to Guinness time.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I thought he was gonna play it again. I was We will have just gotten back from break, assuming that we run over an hour today. So that's I'm assuming we will, because this got out of hand. Did you guys happen to see a few days ago that there was a Flamin' Hot Cheeto in the shape of a Pokemon that went up for auction? And
I saw both a Pokemon and Air Jordan.
It's a Charizard-shaped Flamin' Hot Cheeto. I mean, it couldn't be more appropriate than that, right?
Charizard.
It sold at auction for $87,000. for a Cheeto. Now, the person who sold it made it a Pokemon card. Has its case. It's the Cheetozard. Cool. It has 120 hit points, which is pretty nice. Yeah, and so I was shocked to see the headline from Nerdist.com. What does the world's most expensive Cheeto look like? And find out that it wasn't the Cheetozard.
It's got to be Jesus, right?
So, I was going to say it had to be Jesus.
So $87,840 is the baseline on this. Okay, so $1 would be $87,841, I guess, is what it is. Because we already know that that's not the most expensive, right, for the Cheetozard.
Yeah, yeah.
I will tell you what the most expensive Cheeto looked like, and then we can guess on how much you think someone paid for it on eBay.
I want that.
It's Harambe-shaped. Back to a few years ago where the Cincinnati Zoo shot and killed Harambe, a gorilla, after a three-year-old child fell into the animal's enclosure. Yeah. Harambe made international headlines. People were very mad about it. Lots of memes.
A lot of people pulled their dicks out for it.
I did not understand that part of that, but okay. Prude Greg.
Never heard that part?
I have not.
Brandon and I did.
Yeah,
a protest.
To each other. So,
I mean, yeah, we support Harambe.
For Siege, for Harambe.
For Brandon, for Harambe.
All right. Well,
Oh, it's got to be something stupid if it's Harambe. It's got to be 420,000.
Guy put it on eBay. A guy in Burbank found this and put it on eBay. It looks like a picture of Harambe climbing a tree with a big old booty, a big old butt on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said that he had no bids, and he lowered the price from no bids, started at $15, lowered it to $11.99, and woke up the next day to find many, many offers. What was the selling price of that?
Brandon, are you sticking with your OG guess?
Oh, yeah, 100%. $420,000.
$420,000, says Brandon from the laundromat.
I know that's way too high. I know it's way too high. But
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Siege?
I want
hold on. I think that, Siege, you go last, I think. We're going to make Gervin go next because he was the winner last time. And so I think
because he was Googling everything?
So I think he needs to go first this time.
You said it was more than the Charizard?
Yeah, because it's the most expensive one, and the Charizard is not it. Harambe.
What was the Charizard? 80?
87. Hold on, I'm going to get there. It went for
87,000 something.
Yeah, $87,840.
$88,000.
That's the $1 of this contest. Siege?
Yeah, screw that. It's
Siege.
No, because I think it was higher than that. $469,000.
Jeez. Why's he got to do you dirty like that, Brandon?
I don't mean to. I left a big enough gap.
Well, you should have listened to your buddy Brandon, because Harambe, the Cheeto, the record-setting Cheeto sale on eBay went for $99,900.
Damn it.
How much money do you think, which I don't really know how zoos work, so preface it with that.
It's basically like jail, only for animals, and then people pretend to care.
Yeah.
Did the zoo have to pay for Harambe the animal to be at the zoo? And if so, did they spend more or less than the amount that the Cheeto Harambe sold for on eBay?
Yeah, these are all great questions. If anyone knows, chime in on the internet at nerdtalkplus.com.
No, he was on loan from somewhere. I think he might have actually, was he on loan from Zoo Miami?
On loan from Chelsea?
Yeah. It's on loan from Chelsea. Number 10, Harambe.
Oh, he died.
Scottish.
Great striker, Harambe.
Harambe.
Get inside the box. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway.
Lost myself there.
I feel like this lends itself to us now needing to do research for the podcast to see if we can support the show by selling Cheetos in the shapes of things of internet memes.
Did anything go to the zoo to the Harambe fund?
Let me see. Nope, it didn't say anything about that.
Nope.
Next time you see a weirdly shaped Cheeto, instead of popping it in your mouth or butt, stop for a second and think about whether, not the Flamin' Hot ones, don't do that. Stop for a second and think about whether you want to be a couple thousand dollars richer. Yeah.
I'm going to start selling all my Cheetos.
Good luck to you. I hope that works out for you well. Anyway.
It's going to fund the podcast for years.
I can't wait. I look forward to it. All right. Well, this one's from the world of Gerg. I feel like this is a, this is Gerg-centric. Youngest taekwondo instructor ever.
6 months.
Okay.
It worked
that has to happen is that somebody was willing to take a class from this person.
I feel like to be right? So like let's put it this way, at my dojo I have to become certified to teach it. And so, like, it...
Yeah,
I have
at your legit dojo that you go to, but that remember that park in Japan where the park was not a real park? It has a bench. It was, like, literally...
It's a real
like
park. It's, you could say it's not,
still,
but it's
not no, a real I'm park. Still real salty
It's not
about
a real
park.
Park.
No, it's not a real
no,
park.
I mean, it's a real... Yeah. You guys could say it's not. I mean, you guys sound like Republicans right now. Oh, it's not... Vaccines don't work. This, think of your autism.
This is what I'm saying, though, is that, like, anybody...
Suddenly,
this
Brandon
is
likes...
Proving
this
my
is
point.
Like the
whales,
ice cream.
Oh, my God.
This is exactly why I'm saying...
because you got the COVID.
Anybody can say, oh, yeah, my karate instructor is my 20-month-old baby. And
look at me. I've got a park on my big toe.
Guinness has, like, scrutiny, though. They're not just making anybody do this. They buy the people a blazer to stand there with a clipboard. Like, I mean, how much more legit can you get than a person judging you in a blazer?
Buy me a blazer for my big toe park.
Okay.
Yeah, stupid park.
Like, we'll get a Guinness person out there to... I don't know what your big toe park is, but, like, we'll get it done.
Can I just guess for this dumb karate instructor that I'm going to be annoyed by as soon as you tell me the answer?
Yeah, man, the hate is too strong on this. Yeah, go ahead.
No, she's 7. It is a girl, and she's 7.
Siege?
6 months.
6 months, sorry, that's right. Gravy?
11.
7-year-old.
Whoa!
Samyuktha Narayanan is an inspiration to fellow kids in Madurai, India. Obviously. Nice.
It's a dude.
Encouraging them to engage in sports. She has her black belt.
She's a chick! Yes!
Oh, Brandon gets a half point for knowing it's Air Bud.
Brandon gets a full point for saying she was 7 and being right.
That's okay, but he gets a half point, too.
1.5.
See, I won't protest your half point. I'm not holding a grudge or anything.
My fountain pen is out of ink. That's the nerdiest thing I've said today.
My fountain pen is out of ink. Like, my God, is it a feather pen too?
I'm like, man, my quill.
I forgot to sign the Declaration of Independence.
You know where I bought it? Japan.
Oh, Japan, shut up.
I did.
Were you there? Did you go to Japan to buy it?
Yeah, when I was in Japan, I bought it. Yeah. You know, you get corn soup in a can? It's amazing. It's like from a vending machine. It's all hot. That's crazy.
Well, I used a bunch of laundromats in Japan.
I told multiple people that you have only ever done laundry in a laundromat one time this week, Brandon.
I said the same thing. I don't know why it came up.
I know a guy who's only done... I've done laundry in Japan more than Brandon has done it in America in a laundromat. Yeah, that was...
I know that makes me seem not very resilient.
Full stop.
Okay.
Now, these are the ones that infuriate me, okay? I don't, like, you. Brandon's mad about youngest person to kick something or whatever, but...
It's going to be, like, most people in a push-up.
Most juice cartons drank in 1 minute. Uh-huh. 1 minute.
Wait, listen, we're supposed to do 1 minute of Capri Suns.
I'm going to stoichiometry this into mittens.
How do you drink a mitten? I don't know. Brandon
How much
does.
Time is one mitten?
What's the average mitten hold in volume? Hold on. Who won that one? That was Brandon. Brandon, most juice boxes, I don't know how many ounces or milliliters or whatever, drank in 1 minute.
Juice box, standard juice box size.
Man, standard juice boxes have varied over the years.
The old SJB standard juice box.
Yeah. Did they have to?
Oh, there we go. There's another stoichiometry.
One. How many standard juice box per mitten? quick question.
Yeah.
if I'm allowed to ask a clarifying question on this one, were the juice boxes pre-punched or did they have to punch them?
Ooh, they do not look pre. They editing. Editing makes it look like he has to put the things in each time. Yeah, he has to put them in each time because the first one they show him actually doing it, and then he does this weird like. I'll show you the video afterwards, but he does a real like I don't know. It's another one of the
17.
It's another one of those guys that you're like, how does this guy have so many records? 17 says 17. Brandon.
Yeah.
That's hot. Who's next?
You are. Siege.
Okay. 17. 24.
Okay. And Gravy.
So a Capri Sun was what, 8 seconds?
Oh, this is good. He's actually using his brain.
I'm going to say stoichiometry. 1:06.
Wait, hold on. Let me get to the actual listing here. Most juice cartons drank in 1 minute. One mitten.
Oh, it is a mitten.
Congratulations to Andre Ortolv of either Germany or Belgium. I can't remember which that is. He drank 6.
No!
This is. I am so mad right now.
You're losing.
I feel like we could do better.
This is that guy from Canada all over again, only European. Yeah.
You want to see him?
Yeah.
It's this guy.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Too bad.
Okay, let's see him. Oh, this guy. Bad. What is he doing?
Why won't it focus?
It looks like.
What is he doing? It's actually. It looks so inappropriate that it's blurry. Like. The motion that he is doing makes
semen
it
swallow.
Because it's blurry.
Yeah. Semen swallow. Grab the juice boxes.
Is he doing that like vortex thing? You know when the people do the thing with the...
With the beers? Like no, the he's like trying to...
No, dude.
He's going...
Yeah.
He's definitely the Pac-Man noise.
First of all, he's definitely in the military based on his haircut or a white supremacist group. I'm not sure which.
Either and or both.
Secondly, I hate him. Just for the record.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andre. I don't know you, but boy... The way you violate that juice box, not into it.
I am furious.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Should we do one
more? We're doing this. When are we doing this? What kind of juice boxes? I don't care. Tell me a juice. Tell me a size and give me a time and date and I'm there.
Final one. We have the most cosmetic makeovers by one artist in 24 hours.
Wait a second. Ooh. Doing the cosmetic makeovers or getting them done to them?
One person is doing, basically, if you go to the Macy's or the Nordstrom or whatever, and someone does your makeup for you before you go to the event, and these all appear to be ladies. Ooh, that one's got, never mind, I won't say that. Basically, if you were getting your makeup done, how many people's makeup could one artist do in 24 hours?
Oh my God, so many people.
Question is, how many of them do I see them and I'm like, bang?
Oh, it's got to be the MAC Cosmetics counter because,
each one probably did
like how you have thoughts on this already.
I knew in Miami, there are plenty of MAC Cosmetics girls and bang.
Yeah.
52. Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to guess. 52.
Yep, that's fine. It's Gravy has to guess first because
300.
Won the last one. 300, 52, and... Siege?
My hope
240.
Is that she's doing, my hope is that she's doing a good job for each one and giving them at least like 20 minutes.
Most?
Oh, yeah. Damn it. I should have thought of that. No, it's fine. 240.
She's putting lipstick on.
Is she
on
from
a
Cascadia? I don't
they,
know
like,
this.
Cycle through,
is she from Cascadia? Do you know her?
I don't know this.
She worked at the MAC Cosmetics counter and.
I don't know this flag. Most cosmetic makeovers by one artist in 24 hours. 111 by Mary Young Guy. In a green vertical or horizontal stripes, green, white, and blue flag. That's a point
maybe
for
it
Brandon.
Is Cascadia. Green, is there a dog on there?
Is there? Oh, I thought you said is there a dog, and I was like, "There's no dog on this flag." No, you said Doug. Like
that'd
Doug
be weird to get like a. There's that's got to be a different place, right?
Is it Luxembourg?
You mean? A different place that's not Cascadia?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely a different flag. I don't think the iPhone offers the Cascadian flag as an option.
Sierra Leone.
I don't know.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
So close.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Unfortunately, Siege, Brandon, who got that one?
Brandon.
I did.
Was that two for Brandon then?
Two and a half
if you want to be.
Oh, it's 2.5. Brandon wins. Oh, my God.
We need like music.
Argue over half
so that
again.
When each of us wins, you're the one that gave me
that. Yeah. Brandon wins.
It's the Excel World Championship.
Gravy, I would never allow for that half a point to stand if it wasn't so that way we could get a new winner so we didn't have back-to-back champions of the same person winning back-to-back. Congratulations to Brandon from the laundromat on his 2.5 points, the winner of this week's Guinness Time.
I need that butthole.
And that's not what we learned this week. After all, this is obviously a very heady show.
If I didn't want to hear what Gravy learned this week, that would have been a great spot to end.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little lesson about efficiency. Really quickly, okay, the Hindenburg.
Big fan of Elon over here.
It's payload of 22,000 pounds. Okay, yeah. The Hindenburg. That's about 1/3 of what fits in a single container truck you see going down the road. Those container trucks are about 0.16 gallons of fuel per mile. Triple the amount of 0.57 gallons per mile.
I think he's dead.
It's 1.71 gallons per mile per payload amount of 70,000 pounds. Literally a truck going
How
down the street.
How much fun can you fit in that container truck? How much fun can fit in that
lot.
Container truck?
You can
give this to me in pumpkins, otherwise it makes no sense.
How many pumpkins? How many?
We can stoke some pumpkins into this.
How much power of friendship and tomfoolery can you fit in one of those container trucks? How many can you put in a Zeppelin?
You guys want to know a fun fact? They think that the biggest of megalodons, the sharks of the whatever age that was roughly equivalent to the size of an 18-wheeler with the box part on the back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Trailer.
Trailer, thank you.
The box part.
The box swiggy part.
Guess what?
I think the box part works okay,
Megalodon, more efficient than a truck because it's got more fun in it.
And it runs on fewer pumpkins, I believe. So, anyway.
And the
Hindenburg. Kills less planet.
Yeah.
Also, the Hindenburg, famously worst Zeppelin, okay?
Yeah. And still infinitely more fun than a truck.
Led Zeppelin best.
Hindenburg. There are a lot.
Worst. Those are the two I can name.
There are a lot of inefficient airplanes, okay? A lot of airplanes did not go where they were going either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
thank
Siege
you.
Is going to.
I'm saying specific ones, famously. But yes, okay.
My son's birthday.
Siege will be live broadcasting us in China to quadruple our total audience of ad buyers.
I don't think we talked about that on the pod, just for the record. I think we talked about that before.
You're going to have to edit it in. It's in there at the break. So then Brandon's going to be painting the decks of the Navy's new fleet of efficient blimps.
Yes.
They will give me that what did you call it? C-deck? Dick Seaman?
Undesignated.
Dick Seaman?
Undesignated.
Sorry. Undesignated Dick Seaman. And I will... I'll go up to my draft... What my draft day? What did you call it? The
drop day
in the military. Drop day, which is basically the same thing. They'll send me to my drop day, and they'll be like, "You're gonna paint the blimp," and it will be the best. It'll be the best day
I'm
of my
so
life.
Excited. And Greg's gonna die in a Guinness fueled rage at the next 4-way intersection.
I can't wait. I'm ready to go, guys.
I feel like how much you would need so much at 4.2 ABV. You would need so much Guinness to fuel any sort of fridge.
Or one really well thrown can. You know what I mean? Like, just full can.
Or one really well thrown pumpkin.
Guinness, drink Guinness out of a pumpkin. Show up to 7-Eleven on 7-Eleven. Show up to 7-Eleven on St. Patrick's Day.
pumpkin spiced Guinness.
Can I fill St. Patrick's Day? Can you fill this with
7-Eleven Day? Can I fill up a pumpkin with Slurpee? Is that a thing?
Slurpee.
Oh, bring your own container.
Or it's pouring out of the mouth that you carved.
Yeah, that's a mouth. It's not a glory hole.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah.